So, you know, they've not confirmed that these are Earhart's and Noonan's bones, and it seems unlikely to me that they ever will, but it no longer is used as a reason to rule them out, like to rule it out, because mm-hmm. we no longer are saying, you know, it's a 5'5" male. There is potential that it could be their bones.
Yes. And I'm immature enough to think that sexing bones is hilarious.
I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters.
Hello, you're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based and probably very giggly discussion on all things strange and unusual.
Today's episode is the second part of our two-part episode on the disappearance of Amelia Earhart. If you've not listened to the first part yet, go back to episode 21 and listen to that one first.
Or else.
In episode 21, we briefly covered Amelia Earhart's background, as well as what we consider to be one of the most credible hypotheses for her disappearance. In this episode, we will discuss some of the other less popular hypotheses.
And it's unclear if they're less popular or just less popular for us.
Yeah, I think they might just be less popular for us. I think they might actually be more popular.
We're just fucking assholes. Okay. Before we get to our discussion, though, it is time to do something spooky. So, Paige, did anything spooky happen to you in the last 2 weeks?
No. Per usual, nothing spooky is happening to me.
Great.
Great.
This segment has sort of gone downhill.
Yeah, we can. We maybe need to find something else to put here.
We might need to rename it. Alternatively, if any listeners want to hunt us down and start punking us with spooky stuff, that would be an option.
It really should be renamed Random Shit Paige and Megan Want to Say That Are Unrelated to the Topic.
Yes. But excitingly enough, I am currently staring at the back of Paige's head from 10 feet away, 8 feet away, some distance away, because we are actually together this weekend. So this is the first time that we have gotten to record an episode together in the same room. And it's a little anticlimactic because we have no fucking idea what we're doing in terms of microphone setup. And we can't face each other.
It's very exciting, though. I'll say, so I had previously turned the camera on because if I turn the camera on, Megan's behind me so I can see her. And then I was like, this is silly. I'm turning it off. But now I'm wishing that actually I had kept it on because I'm feeling very weird that she can see me and I can't see her.
Yeah. Now it's just spooky. This is your something spooky.
Yeah, this is my something
spooky. I can see you.
Megan can see me talk with my hands and like shake my head at her while she's talking. And I have no clue what she's doing behind me.
You'll never know. It is weird. You should have left it on. I could have made faces at you.
I know, but it won't let me turn it back on now.
Wait. You did it. I did it. Yes. And to anyone who is concerned, we have been very safe coronavirus issues. Like, I get tested a lot. Nobody is sick. So we felt comfortable with the amount of risk to be a little pod this weekend. So nobody come for us on that front. Okay. So let's jump back into Amelia Earhart. I once again was less excited than I should have been for recording Amelia Earhart stuff, but I'm back to being excited after reviewing the notes and doing some editing on the previous Amelia Earhart episode. And I'm also like very excited. This is not related to Amelia Earhart, but I realized just now that the very first Spooky Science Sisters episode that we ever recorded, I sat out here in this very spot on this very couch to do it. So even if the sound is like really shitty or a little bit shitty because we are unsure of the correct mic settings for being in the same room, it cannot be worse than the first episode. because that was pretty fucking terrible. Okay.
We've come a long way.
We have. So proud. So far, like Paige said, we have covered one of the main hypotheses about Amelia Earhart's disappearance, which is that she and Noonan ran out of fuel and crashed into the ocean. And there are some very deep parts of the ocean near the area where they were headed, which was Howland Island. And they just eventually drowned. So that's it. So the next theory, which is like, I guess the only other one that I think holds any water in terms of potentially being something that could have happened, is that they crashed near or on this Nikumaroro Island, and they were castaways for a time. So, Paige, you can take it from here and tell us all about that.
Based off of the research that I did, this seems to be the most researched theory of all of them. Even the one that we had talked about last time with, you know, with there being a crash. It's a lot of people think that's what happened, but it doesn't seem like there's been a ton of effort put into really confirming whether or not there's a plane somewhere in the water, whether they crashed. Where like there seems to be a lot of work that's been put into trying to find either remains, plane remains, or remains of their bodies or anything.
Yeah. There, just to interrupt you for a second, there was that one survey that was done near Howland Island, and I forget who did it because it's been a while since we recorded part one. But there was that one survey where they were like just scanning the seafloor to see if they could find the plane remains.
But that's like really all they did, I believe, right? That's like the only one.
Yes. Yeah. And the guy was basically like, yeah, we didn't find anything, but like that just means it's not where we looked.
Right.
So, or like we know where not to look next time. So anyway.
So there's like a ton of like circumstantial evidence around this castaway theory. A lot of things that they think they have found to, you know, as evidence that they were castaways and that they had lived there for a period of time. But we're really only going to talk about a couple of big things. And the first thing that we'll talk about is it Tiger? Is it
T-R? I think the acronym is so they can pronounce it Tiger.
Tiger.
Yeah.
Okay. And we had talked about this group, I think on the first episode, very briefly. I think Megan, you had kind of introduced them.
Yeah, I can't remember if I even said which group it was. So we'll do the whole name.
So they're the International Group for Aircraft Recovery. And they have collected a ton of data on Earhart's disappearance. And if you go to their website, they have like loads of information. And they've published far more information than either of us are, you know, probably ever going to have the time to really go through. But I did go through some of it, and I believe Megan did a little bit too. And on their site, there is a map of the flight path that they believe that Earhart and Noonan took and how it differs from the original flight path, the flight path that they had intended on taking. Basically, they believe that Earhart started deviating from the original path slightly, which meant that they didn't go far enough north to Howland Island. And according to that, their flight path on their website, they think that she traveled north for a little bit to try to find the island. And then when she couldn't find it, turned around and kind of headed back towards south, or headed back south, land, which would have landed them near this Nikumaroro Island. And we talked a little bit on the last episode about how it would have been very easy getting lost trying to find Howland Island. It's a very small island in a very large body of water. And this, to me, you know, makes sense. She could have possibly headed north, couldn't find the island, was lost, thought maybe she had passed it and it was south somewhere, that they never even saw it and it was south, so turned around and went back. It also aligns with some of Earhart's last communications that she had with the Coast Guard, saying at points that she was traveling north and then also mentioning that she had traveled south a period of time.
Yes. So if you listen to the last episode, you'll remember that she was communicating with this Coast Guard ship, the Itasca, who is waiting for her near Howland Island and who is supposed to help her navigate that final stretch of the trip in order to get there. And she was radioing in that, you know, she couldn't find them and that fuel was getting low. And those are some of the last kind of confirmed, or what's the word I'm looking for? The last messages that are like definitely accepted to be from her are received by the Itasca.
Confirmed would have worked, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. And if you'll remember that, like, navigating and communicating was all very different from the way that it is today with long distance travel. So this was like, I mean, it was difficult. It was not an easy thing to do. And I mentioned this last time, but I can't remember if I read any of the specific ones. Here's what happens when we record part one, like several weeks ago. And now I'm doing part two later. I think I read some of them, but anyway. So there are these stories, if you'll remember, of radio transmissions that were heard by shortwave radio operators and thought to have come from Amelia Earhart that are heard as late as July 18th. So like up to like 2 weeks after her disappearance. And I think a thing on the Tiger website said they maybe got things up to like 6 days after that the Tiger group thinks are official Amelia Earhart radio transmissions. So this led some people, including notably Amelia Earhart's husband, to think that she had come down on land because the way that those radio batteries worked, they were located on the wings of the plane. And if they were exposed to water, then the radio batteries wouldn't be able to function. So they're like, well, if they're sending these messages, they had to have been above water and potentially on land. So one of these messages is heard on July 5th by the U.S. Navy in Honolulu. And this is in like a sort of garbled Morse code, which I guess would make sense because they said that neither Earhart or Noonan knew Morse code very well. So it might make sense that their messages would come in like kind of funky.
And it's like they knew it. They just weren't like, I don't know, fluent isn't maybe the right word, but like they didn't know it well, right?
Yeah.
They had an idea of, like, they had some understanding of Morse code, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. They had some understanding. They could like identify letters, but like, yeah, like they weren't fluent. They couldn't do it quickly. So,
gotcha.
So that would match with that. But that message is 281 North Howland, call KHAQQ beyond north, won't hold us much longer, above water, shut off. And so KHAQQ, if you'll remember, was her call sign. So, you know, if that's a real message from her, then it sort of sounds like, you know, the plane is above water, but they're not going to be able, it's not going to be much longer. And, you know, things are about to shut off. So this is one of the last messages that they can send. There are some amateur shortwave radio operators who also get messages. So one in Ashland, Kentucky claims that they heard a transmission that said that Earhart was down in ocean and on or near a little island. So again, like these are all things that make people think they're castaways somewhere. Like they've made it to a different island and this Nikumoro Island is a likely target if that was the case. But I have a lot of thoughts about that.
I know you do. And like, I do agree. I mean, they crashed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think we talked about this last episode. Regardless of what the end result was of that crash, they definitely crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I do think that just crashing and just kind of dying with that crash is probably the easiest explanation, but like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I feel like the castaway theory, I can buy it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, importantly, I think we talked last time, like either way, whether it was on land or in the ocean, they crashed that plane and like eventually they died. And that was like, either they like drowned and went down with the plane or shortly after, or, you know, they were castaways for some time. I think the castaway thing is just like, I don't know. I just feel like some of that is like becomes wishful thinking. Like people just don't want to believe that she just crashed into the ocean and like was just it. Like they want to believe that, you know, she made it to land and like she survived as a castaway for like I don't know, forever. I don't know. And maybe that's difficult because also like surviving as a castaway would be like pretty fucking shitty as well. Like,
right. Yeah, that seems I would prefer to just die.
Yeah, it's like, I would rather just like take the quicker way than like starve to death or get injured in some horrible way on like some remote island. But sure, whatever. So yeah, but they did find some evidence, or what they claim they think is some evidence. Oh, and one last thing about those radio messages is, again, like the official investigation and like even to today, I think the Navy or whoever, like they don't recognize those radio messages past the last one that the Itasca received as official Amelia Earhart messages. And they were, I forget the reasoning as to like why they were officially dismissed, but this Tiger group has gone back and looked at these more closely. And now they say like, no, these are real messages. These are coming from credible sources. So yeah. So like that is, yeah, that's a tricky one. Okay. But other evidence on the island, go.
Yeah. So there were bones found on the island. Which to me initially this was like, okay, there are bones, right? There's bones on every island.
Bone. That's a little phasmophobia Easter egg for you guys.
But in 1940, there were bones found on the island, and they were analyzed by Dr. D.W. Hoodless, which like that's just like the coolest last name. Who is the principal of the Central Medical School in Fiji. And he concluded that the bones belonged to a 5'5½ tall female. Amelia Earhart was about 5'8", and Noonan was over 6 feet tall. So at that time, the bones were really ruled out as being either of theirs. However, in 1972, forensic anthropologists changed their work practices when it came to classifying skeletons. And there was a decent amount of literature around this, but like I just felt like that was like a whole different rabbit hole I could have gone down. So we're just going to stick to like they did change the way that they were the science of sexing bones. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit since the 40s, like a lot. And because of that, they've gone on to say that the previous practices that Hoodless had used were likely inaccurate. This is no fault of his own. It's just that, you know, things have changed a lot since the 40s and the way that we study things have changed. So, you know, they've not confirmed that these are Earhart's and Noonan's bones, and it seems unlikely to me that they ever will, but it no longer is used as a reason to rule them out, like to rule it out, because mm-hmm. we no longer are saying, you know, it's a 5'5" male. There is potential that it could be their bones.
Yes. And I'm immature enough to think that sexing bones is hilarious. Anyway, so the only comment that I had about that was, and you didn't touch on this, but some of the stuff about the bones that they found and, you know, what height are they male or female? Some of them like specifically say like, oh, they were of a Caucasian or a white woman. And so I sort of dismiss a lot of that because it just starts to smack of like eugenic stuff. Like, that is, yeah. So I don't know. So I don't know how much I trust that. I feel like this is a place where it's like, we need you, Rebecca and or Sarah. Tell us about bones.
So then, and we definitely like briefly touched on this last episode, just kind of as a teaser that we were going to talk about it in this episode. But Robert Ballard. So he is the same ocean explorer who discovered the Titanic wreck, and he led a team for 2 weeks to try to find the Earhart plane, and that started in August of 2019. So He gets involved when Kurt Campbell, who is a senior official on President Barack Obama's State Department, showed him a picture known as the Bevington image. And the Bevington image is a blurry photo taken by a British officer at the island in 1940. And when focused in, supposedly looks like a photo of Earhart's landing gear.
And I'm just here to say that that is the dumbest shit that I've ever seen in my life. Like, come on. Like, they're like, when focused in. Okay, let me paint a picture for you. So this is a picture that's taken by this, like she said, this naval officer whose name is Eric Bevington. He takes it in, this is in 1940, but I had read 1937. But like, either way, it's after Earhart and Noonan disappear. And what it shows is this shipwreck of a ship called the Norwich City that had shipwrecked on a coral reef in 1929. So he's just taking a picture of the shipwreck, and I guess like there's still pieces of it there. So that's pretty cool. But like, if you look at this photo, like it's like a fucking wide shot with like the horizon. You can see part of the island. You can see the shipwreck like off in the distance, far away. And then there's this little smudge like midway up the photo that's a little bit dark. And like, come on. You zoom in on it and it's just like, it's a piece of fuzz that was on the camera lens or some shit. Like, are you fucking serious?
It's like if someone showed me a photo, you know, take the ship out of it. But like, mm-hmm. if someone showed me a photo like this, I would think it was like a buoy. I wouldn't just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or like a like maybe a person, but I'm not.
Or just like a rock or like, I don't know.
Right. Once you zoom in, it's like.
Yeah. We'll share the photos because like you have to see them. And they're like, oh, we unblurred it. We focused it in. And it's like, this isn't fucking CSI where they like refocus the license plates and you like perfectly see the numbers. Right. Like, there's no amount of refocusing that's going to convince me that's
landing
gear for a plane. You've got to be kidding me. Anyway, I think that's the most ridiculous piece of evidence for this. Maybe if somebody knows something more about camera technology then, and like whether or not we possess some sort of technology to like actually unblur that photo, but like, no fucking way.
Well, it was clearly enough to get him interested in it somehow.
Anyway, this has really taken my thoughts about Robert Ballard like down a few notches. Like, are you serious?
So he sees this ridiculous photo, and for whatever reason, maybe there's more to the story, he gets excited and here's the thing. Photo aside, like, how is he not already interested in this story?
Right.
You know, so like maybe there's more to it, but whatever. Sees the photo, decides he's going to go ahead and spend a couple weeks out there in Nikumaroro Island and see if maybe they can find a plane, find something.
Here's the real deal. This guy was just like, I like really want an excuse to just like spend 2 weeks in the tropics, like hanging out on beaches and boats. And he was like, this is it. This is my ticket.
So him and his crew and then some National Geographic anthropologists set to the island in August, like I said, of 2019. And so the first thing they do is they send the ship around the island 5 times to create a map using a multi-beam sonar
deployed?
What am I? Oh my God. The word is deployed, not developed, even though I've read it developed 4 different times. Basically, they're just trying to map the shallow areas of the island shores.
Great.
Yeah, because I don't know how to say the word deploy, so we're going to just skip it.
Great.
And then sent 4 drones to get additional inspection of the surrounding reefs. They also sent some robots with spotlights and high-def cameras into deeper water around the island, where they came up with nothing. They
exactly.
They focus a lot of their attention on the area, the island where the Bevington photo was taken. So, like, clearly this photo does have like some sort of influence on him, because that's where he seems to focus a lot of his attention.
Yeah.
And they said during that they find a lot of rocks that matched the shape and size of supposed landing gear from the Bevington photo.
Yeah, so it's a fucking rock.
Yeah, I had read somewhere that they were like, that like the crew members just started making fun of it. Like how many rocks they had found. They're like, oh, there's another piece of the plane. And like just started like joking around about it.
Yeah, this is just like a, I don't know. I'm being really mean, but I've had a drink. So this is just like an example of like more money than sense, I think. Anyway, go.
So then I took a quote from a New York Times article, and it says, the crew mapped the mountain's underwater drainage patterns and searched the gullies that might have carried plane fragments downslope to a depth of 8,500 feet. Crew members even searched roughly 4 nautical miles out to sea in case the plane lifted off of the reef intact and glided underwater as it sank. And, like, they didn't find anything. Mm-hmm. So they leave 2 months later, which, like, I think it's 2 weeks. Did I say 2 months or 2 weeks earlier?
I think you said 2 weeks.
Okay. So they don't find anything. They leave. The only thing that I did see that, like, I read that they had done, but, like, I didn't see any, like, for like follow-up on it, mm-hmm. was that there were some soil samples taken from the island to be tested for DNA. Mm-hmm. Did you read anything more about that, Megan?
I think I saw something mentioned about it, but I was just like immediately like, seriously? Like, there's gonna be like no intact like DNA evidence that's 80 years old that like you got from a beach. No, that's stupid.
Unless they're still alive.
It would be so degraded. Yeah, like, yeah, fucking right. No, that's dumb. That's not the thing. I don't think so.
So, you know, I mean, for the most part, this doesn't look great for the castaway theory. I would like to mention, though, that apparently several times – it was 2 months. I said 2 weeks initially. Just only half believe the things I'm saying, apparently. So during the 2 months – when morale would get low, Ballard would constantly remind the team.
Oh, I'm like literally looking at another article right now and it says 2 weeks. So
it was 2 weeks. Oh my God. Just every 2 weeks, people.
2 weeks, 2 weeks.
I was right the first time. I should have believed, I should have trusted myself. So when morale would get low, Ballard would remind his team that one of the missions that it took them to find the Titanic's. Oh my God, the Titanic. They missed the ship by only 500 feet, which is crazy to me. But also, you know, it could mean that like maybe the ship is, or the plane is out there and, you know, they're just like barely missing it. It is possible.
Yeah. Well, and like we said before, it's a small plane.
Exactly.
As far as planes go. Like it's not the fucking Titanic, which is a very large ocean liner that they like had coordinates for where it sank. So yeah, so it's, you know, it's crazy that it took them so long to find the Titanic, although admittedly they were like waiting for the technology to be right and like probably also the money. But yeah, like Amelia Earhart's plane was so much smaller. Like I just think, I don't know. I just think it's silly, because why are we still spending all this money and time on this? Like there are so many other things. I'm in a mood. There are so many other things where like money like that could be spent for better purposes. So, you know.
Yeah, but like what are we doing right now? I mean, I know we're not spending money on it, but like
we're spending time.
But like people are still interested in it.
Well, I know.
I mean, yes, I think that there are probably areas we could be spending this money that aren't just like,
I know,
ways. I know. Though, like, she has family.
We have a podcast about this, but also, this is a waste of fucking time. And to be fair, though, I'm not alone, because I remember looked at the stuff about the original search that was mounted and like was basically not spearheaded, but like the president at the time when she disappeared was like, we got to find her. And people were pissed about it then because he spent a fuck ton of money looking for her. And they were like, I think there are better things we could spend this money on right now. Anyway.
And here we are.
Here we are.
How many years later, still looking.
Hey, we are here to bring the practical, realistic side of things. I feel no shame.
So yeah, the only other note I was going to make, or the only thing I was going to say, is that like we talked about in the last episode, we still haven't found Malaysia Flight 370.
Yeah, like, that's a whole ass giant plane that we like have all this different information on.
Right.
At the time that, you know, it took off and exactly where it was when it lost radio contact. No idea. We've like maybe found some wreckage from it, but that is it.
So I don't know. I'm not convinced that they couldn't have been castaways for a period of time. But I mean, a lot of people kind of still tend to point the finger towards like they just crashed and died somewhere. There's an interview on the Chasing Earhart website by a woman named Dana Timmer, and she basically says that, like, you know, we've been searching for 30 years at this island and like we've not found her. We believe she's probably at Holland Island. Like, that's probably where she's at. Yeah. So I don't know why I told you that, because we already said that like a million times, but that's what I'm telling
it's
you.
It's fine. It's fine. I mean, yeah. Do we know how early? Because they searched like a huge area around Holland Island. Like, did they? They looked at Nikumaroro like shortly after she disappeared, right?
I don't remember. I didn't think so. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, because I'm just saying, like, if they did, I don't know. Did they look?
I didn't think they had. I thought looking there was like a more recent thing. And I don't know. I am thinking of a different theory, maybe. I think I'm getting some of the theories confused. But I didn't think they had looked. I don't remember reading anything that had stated that they went like shortly after their disappearance. They may have. I don't remember reading anything about it.
Got it. Well, it's like, I don't know. I just sort of think like that people just like want to believe that she made it somewhere.
That's a good point, though. Like, even if they didn't go there, that would make me think that at the time, there wasn't any question about them being in Nikumaroro. So like, why all of a sudden? Like, yeah. if they would have thought they were there and still alive, that would have been the first place they would have looked.
Right.
So either they looked and they weren't there, or they didn't look because they didn't think they were there.
Right. And I guess it's not that long after that like World War II breaks out and stuff. So maybe they were like, by the time they thought, like, what if they landed at this other island? Like, it was like, well, shit, we can't go check now.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like we should know. But we don't know.
All right. So the next one we're going to talk about is that they were taken prisoner by the Japanese. So this whole theory started because of a photo that was taken. It's presumed by a U.S. spy, but like I don't think they really even know for sure who took the photo. And I don't know what year it was taken. Did you know, Megan?
No, but I think that's that was the question when they found the photo or like started thinking that it was her. They didn't really know for sure what year it was from.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
And I think the idea that she had been taken prisoner was a thing before this photo, but this was like...
Well, like why it gained popularity.
Yeah, but this like sort of, you know, added evidence to that. But I don't know for sure if that's a thing, but anyway.
So the photo shows a group of people standing on a dock and some boats that are surrounding that dock. On the right bottom corner, there is like a very blurry section of the photo that is claimed to be Earhart's plane. Of course it is. And on the in the group of people, there was a woman with her back to the camera who people claim is Earhart. So my question to you, Megan, is like, which I think I'm going to know the answer to, but what are your initial thoughts about the photo? And like, what are the chances you think that this is really Amelia Earhart?
Yeah. I mean, you already know the answer. This is
We already know the answer.
This is such fucking bullshit. Like, we'll post this photo too. It's just like, seriously. Like, that woman in that photo, like, sure, maybe vaguely has the same haircut as Amelia Earhart. But like,
that could be me.
Right. Like, that could be literally anybody. Like, you can't tell what her ethnicity is. Like, you can't tell how old she is. You can't tell anybody. Like, that. It's nothing. And like the man's face is like totally in shadow. So yeah, it's stupid. I mean, like I wrote in the notes, people think Elvis is in Home Alone, like, and think that he's like showed up other places. Like Elvis is really alive. But yeah, like Kenny Biddle did like a debunking on the Home Alone appearance. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I bet he would be a good person to take a look at this and like figure out who the heck that person actually is.
Yeah, please, Kenny, if you have thoughts, which I'm sure you will, please share those with
me. Yes. Well, and here's the thing too, is I think that, and it's like very possible that I'm mixing up like various other stories, but I think the Japanese, I had heard that the Japanese like helped out with the search for her.
I think I had read the same thing.
Yeah. So it's like, they'd have to be like, there's no way that they were like, oh, we captured her, but like, right. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Like, we'll help you look for her. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, so there was like,
I'm maybe thinking of a different thing.
I'm getting like, I'm starting to confuse all the different theories. This is what happens when I wrote my notes like 3 weeks ago.
But yeah, but like, wasn't this like a totally different topic that somebody?
Oh no, you and I are. I'm talking about. I'm confusing myself about a different thing.
Okay,
but I don't know
who we're talking about. What we were talking about when we were saying like, oh, they helped look for her. Oh, that's Dyatlov Pass. It's fine. Yeah, I don't even know the difference between the Russians and the Japanese anymore. You guys, I can't.
We've had a couple drinks.
It's not good. You guys, I have no idea if the Japanese helped look for her. I vaguely think that's true, but I definitely remember that like the indigenous people at Dyatlov Pass helped look for that group. And that, so like they were like, well, okay.
Who knows? Either way, we don't believe.
We're doing such a good job.
We don't think this happened.
No, I think this is stupid.
And this is the point that you were making a little bit ago, Megan, and that I had totally forgotten about. Rick Gillespie is or was the executive director of Tiger. And he makes the point that while the photo is dated, we would have to know like the exact date it was taken for it even to be possible to be them. Because if it had been, you know, even in 1936 or, you know, 2 years later in 1938, then like obviously there would have been no way it could have been Earhart and Noonan. So basically his point is that like this photo had to have been taken in a very narrow window of time for it even to be possible to be them. Mm-hmm. And like, we literally don't know when it was taken. So just to assume it's them is like absolutely absurd. Mm-hmm. And then a Japanese history blogger ends up telling the media later on that he saw the exact same photo in a book that had been published in 1935, which would have been 2 years prior to Earhart and Noonan's disappearance. So like, obviously it couldn't be them.
Yeah, nailed it. Solved. So, debunked. Never talk to me about this photo ever again.
Not taken prisoner.
This and the Bevington photo. I don't want to hear anybody mention them ever again. Unless you're like, wow, I have a PhD in deblurring photos, and I'm like, okay, now we can have a discussion about this. But other than that, I don't want to hear about it.
All right,
so we might get some angry emails about this episode. It's fine.
On to the final and like potentially the most absurd of the theories.
This is the second to final. We didn't take any notes about the final one.
Oh, you're right. And that one actually is more absurd than this one. So the almost the second to last and the second most absurd theory, which is the Irene Bolam theory. And just to be honest with you all, I did do some reading on this, but like everything I read sort of just confused me because there are so many theories and like somehow they all sort of like mix together some way. Some people say that like maybe – so the theory is basically that Amelia Earhart changed her name to Irene Bolam and like came back as Irene.
Yes, to the U.S. and like lived in New Jersey.
Yeah, and – like, some people just say she changed her name. Some say that she was a prisoner of the Japanese, and when she got free, she changed her name to, like, I don't know, stay safe or, like, I don't know, if they couldn't find her.
Yeah, or that she was, like, some spy. So, like, when she came back, it was some sort of, like, witness protection thing.
Right. There's, like, a million – I saw, like, several different reasons as to why she would have changed her name, which to me is, like, already a red flag. Like, this is not – this didn't happen. Like, this isn't a thing. Yeah. We don't even know, like, why she would have changed her name. But the theory is that she did change her name.
Yes.
And became a new person.
And lived until her 80s as Irene Bolam in New Jersey. So the Tiger website, I think they go with, or at least in the article that they had about a specific book on this, they go with the idea that, like, yeah, she was held captive in Japan for some time and then repatriated to the U.S. after the war.
Okay.
And, like, I don't know. I don't know why she would have a reason to change her name after that, but whatever. But from the Tiger website, which they will link this in on our website post that we always do with the sources that we used, but they pretty much debunk this whole theory based on a recent book. So I'm just going to read a quote, a direct quote from them. So they say, the originator of the theory is a retired U.S. Air Force major named Joe Gervais, who, while attending a social event on Long Island in 1965, saw Mrs. Bolam and, quote, just knew that she had to be Amelia Earhart. Neither Gervais nor his disciples accepts evidence that argues against this fundamental revelation. Any allegation or interpretation that fits the desired conclusion is embraced without question, while inconvenient facts are either explained away by adding additional layers of conspiracy or simply ignored. The result over the years has been the growth of a body of folklore that presents an incriminating but almost entirely fictitious case against the late Irene Bolam. So yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. Like, I think Irene was a pilot for some time, but like spent most of her life as a banker. And there have been a couple different books on this. So the original one came out, who must have been one of these like disciples of Gervais or whatever, but came out in 1970 and was written by a man named Joe Kloss. And this is called Amelia Earhart Lives. And he, yeah, like claims that she came back in the 40s and lived out her life, or lived as Irene Bolam. But this was like published while Irene Bolam was still alive.
I feel so bad for this woman.
Yes. And so like he claims that like scientists, you know, analyzed photos of them, that there was this very striking resemblance. And it's like, sure. I mean, they're both like white women. So, okay. But, you know, later scientists say that they like never made an endorsement of this theory. Another book was written by a man named Colonel Reinick, and this was published in 2003, so fairly recently. And I think the original book, so it's like shocking that Reinick, you know, publishes this newer book, because Irene Bolam sued McGraw-Hill, who published the original one, and got money for it. They pulled the book and settled with her. And she uses, you know, all this evidence to prove, like, birth certificates and marriage certificates and all these people who've been like, we fucking knew her whole life. She's not Amelia Earhart. So, like, I feel really bad for her. Like, I'd be so fucking pissed.
Oh, me too.
So it's, yeah. So it's just stupid. It's just like some whack job being like, this is definitely Amelia Earhart, and then like harassing this poor woman.
And people just believing it.
Yes. And people believing it. And it's like, it's stupid.
Well, yeah. It's like basically this is just one guy's assumption and like no real. I mean, scientists have come out and basically has been like, this is absurd. This isn't a thing. Shut up.
Yes.
So that's us debunking that, I guess.
That's us debunking that. This is stupid. And like, you know, arguably, like, you know, you could say like, oh, well, why doesn't her, like, one of her family members get like DNA testing or something to compare her to like Amelia Earhart's family and prove that she isn't her? But it's like, that is not their fucking burden to bear. She doesn't have to prove to anybody that she's not Amelia Earhart. Just relax. Let it go. Never talk about it again. I apparently have a lot of aggression about this. I'm really sorry, you guys. But anybody who believes that theory sucks, so.
Yeah, well, that theory is like a double whammy then. Like, if you're going with what Tiger says, like, you both believe that she was a prisoner of the Japanese and came back as to the U.S. as Irene Bolam. So, like, you believe a lot of crazy shit.
I hate it. Yeah. And that is the last theory, which I'm sure you guys can already guess, is that Amelia Earhart and Fred Noonan were taken by the aliens.
Because duh.
Duh. That's what happens to anybody who can't explain. I think it's funny because I think in episode one, I was like, Paige was like, we're going to need two parts to do this episode or this topic. And yes, we did need two parts. But also, I think initially I thought like, oh, there's a lot more here than I thought. But I don't know. I'm like 100% still. They ran out of fuel. They crashed in the ocean. We're never going to find that plane because it's small and the ocean is a really big place and that's really deep water. And yeah. Anything that says otherwise, like castaways or captives or whatever, is just wishful thinking.
I don't know. I'm like 80-20. I like feel pretty sure that they probably just crashed around Holland Island. But I think there's a small piece of me that thinks like, you know, they could have like maybe survived. Like there's enough there for me to think that it's possible that they could have been castaways for a period.
Sure. And we didn't talk about it. And I forgot to mention it when we talked about the castaway theory. But like, I think now they say that they found like some sort of like artifacts or something that basically match things that were in her inventory. So,
yeah. And, you know, it's weird because I remember reading something about this and I thought maybe I was misremembering like which theory it was for. Maybe I just didn't make a note about it because I would swear it was the castaway theory, but that like they had found, like you said, they had found some artifacts, but like at some point they had gone to the island and looked and like they found stuff and said that there really hadn't been any record of anyone living there in the last like, I don't know, 100 years or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I don't see any notes about that. So I don't really know where those went. Maybe I just decided they weren't important, but.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up real quick. Oh, what's the other one that like she. I was Googling this and I just remembered the thing that there are like these really big crabs on Nikumaru Island. So like one of the ideas was like she got like crashed and like got marooned on this island, but then like got eaten by giant crab. But like maybe they just ate her body, but like after she was dead. But that was the thing. Anyway, new artifacts.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not totally crazy. So I don't know anything about the objects, but it says in 1989, Tiger launched its first expedition to Nikumaru. Basically, this is saying that like, there was no record of anyone actually living there since 1892.
Okay.
So I remember seeing somewhere that like between the bones and then whatever artifacts it was that they found, that it was like a little bizarre because like they realistically, like nobody had been living there for such a long time that they were surprised that they had found anything.
Got it. So it like it basically lends credence to the idea that there could have been castaways there because there shouldn't have been anything there at all. Like especially not bones of a person.
Yeah.
So of course, like right while you were saying that, I found the thing that said that in addition to the bones that they found remains of campfires, U.S. made items like a jackknife, a woman's compact, a zipper pull, and glass jars. So basically just like you said, like anything, like sure it could just be like random ocean trash, but like anything that they said that is evidence of a person being there, like especially of a person from the U.S. being there, is weird. But I still think it's stupid.
I don't know. I'm stuck here.
Okay.
That's, I got nothing else.
It's fine. Okay. Okay. I mean, okay. So I get my remaining questions would be, what can we do to verify the shortwave radio messages that were received supposedly after she crashed? Because like a couple of them come from like military bases and stuff. So it's like, I feel like who took those? What is the deal with those? Although presumably the people who, you know, recorded them now are dead. So that's going to be difficult to track down. But I also just think like, man, like so much of this Nikumaro Island stuff seems to hinge on the fucking Bevington photo. So I think that was about the point, like when I looked up the Bevington photo and saw what it really was and saw the zoomed in thing of the supposed landing gear, I was like, no, fuck this shit. Like, yeah, this is the best piece of evidence that they've got. Like, absolutely not. I'm out. I think this is dumb. So
that's fair.
So I don't know. That's why I'm so against it.
Yeah, it would be interesting to learn more about the radio transmissions, though, because if, like you're saying, if they had ones that came, you know, 5 days later or whatever, then like they must have been alive somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So someone go figure that out for us. And then, yeah, and then we'll have something new to talk about. All right. Well, that wraps up our episode on Amelia Earhart. Tune in next time when Karen from Monster Talk and her husband Matt Baxter join us for a discussion on ghost hunting. If you liked this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpookySciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website, SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at spookysciencesisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening and stay spooky.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.